With us right now by telephone is the president for Wisconsin Family Action, this Jelaine Appling. How did you get involved with this Wausau school situation?
Well, hello, Larry. It's nice to be able to talk with you about this topic. We got involved because we got a call from a concerned parent. Well, actually, I guess it was late last week, letting us know that this was happening, that the administration there in the Wausau School District had made some strategic changes in how they were allowing instructors and, in particular, band and choral directors to choose music for school concerts coming up, especially at the holiday time. So, you know, we're well connected with people who are in the grassroots and who are concerned about the direction of schools and things that happen in schools. So they alerted us to this issue.
There is a special school board meeting coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night. And I'm wondering if anyone from your organization plans to be there.
Well, actually, even before I knew about this situation, I have plans for a meeting in Wausau, an entirely unrelated issue. And so I'm going to be up there tomorrow, and I will be at the school board meeting tomorrow night at Wausau East at 6:30. I'm still deciding whether or not we will speak, but I definitely am going to be there to encourage people and also to make sure that we know exactly what's taking place in this school board meeting. I am a former school board member from Watertown here in Wisconsin, and so I'm familiar with the procedures that school boards follow in these situations and the deliberations that they will have to have. And in addition to things like the closed session that they're having at 5:30 prior to the 6:30 public meeting, and in that closed session, you know, they're going to talk about, if you read the agenda for that, it's the threat of a lawsuit related to this issue. So it's very important to me as a person who represents and people from all across the state and through our organization and families, as well as a former school board member, to be very well informed on it.
Are you aware of who this lawsuit might be coming from?
No, I have no clue about that. I know that. Look, when school districts are facing an issue like this that has, you know, essentially a sizable portion of the community involved with it, and they're hearing from all segments of the community on one side or the other on it, they're aware that they might be involved in a lawsuit, even if they've received nothing from a legal team or a legal organization. It's always out there as an idea. So they might just be, you know, talking about the what-ifs and the suppose situations happen, but it's all related, and so it's important that people take advantage, by the way, of this opportunity to let their opinion be known.
What we have learned so far is that the most likely organization to bring about a suit is not involved, and that's Freedom From Religion Foundation. They've already told us they didn't do it.
Well, they would be one of the likely organizations, obviously, but there are other legal entities that are looking at this. In fact, I know it's going to go public, and I'm assuming it might even be public by now, but I know, for instance, that Alliance Defending Freedom, a First Amendment legal coalition in this country, has already issued a 5-page letter to each of the school board members there, laying out the legal cases that support the inclusion of religious music, not just in Christmas concerts or winter concerts, but in any kind of a musical presentation in our public schools. So I do know this, that Alliance Defending Freedom has done nothing about a lawsuit, nothing. I'm not trying to say that they are the ones. They are not. But I know legal groups are beginning to look at this and take action.
I'm going to ask you a question based on your own experience as a school board member. This instance in Wausau seems to have a double edge blade. You have one side, which is the restrictions or possible restrictions of music, and then the other side of it is several school board members very upset with the administration for what they claim is taking action on a policy issue that they were not involved in.
I have to tell you, as a former school board member, I would be quite upset to find out that the administration had essentially changed school district policy in this regard and had not talked with, not just, you know, they actually needed to talk with this full school board, in my opinion. The school board's role is governance. They are the policy makers. The administration is the policy implementer. And therefore, the administration typically does not make pretty sizable changes in policy without significant board input. I would be asking questions and demanding answers of the administration if I were in a school board member there in Wausau at this point. I'd at least want to know how this happened and how were we kept completely out of the loop. The last thing a school board member wants is to be blindsided by phone calls that are coming into his or her home saying, what are you guys doing, as a school board member that doesn't have a clue about what's happening.
And we've had several board members tell us that's exactly what happened.
Been there.
So as we look at that special meeting, I'm only guessing here that it's going to have a very large turnout because they have moved it to a larger venue and there have been a lot of people contacting board members and the administration. Is there any grounds to force these changes, such as the much talked about ratio of 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 religious versus non-religious songs?
Well, look, school districts have enormous authority. The age-old argument of how much local control do school districts have, or school boards have, is it's a real issue. But in this particular area, school boards have enormous latitude. Now, because the law is more generous than what the Wausau School District is attempting to force their music faculty and music programs to do, doesn't mean that they don't have the right to do that. Now, I don't think it's smart, and I don't think that the school district has laid out a very valid case at all in defense of their decision. I especially think that, from my perspective, the legal paper that was produced by the law firm that is representing the Wausau School District, I didn't think that was very meaty, very authoritative at all. If I had been on the school board, I would have demanded a much more in-depth analysis of this issue and would have really hoped that that would have been provided well in advance of even making the change in the policy, certainly, but well in advance of this meeting, because even the letters that I've seen from Alliance Defending Freedom, I mean, the case law is pretty obvious in this. So the school district does have authority to make a policy that is narrower than what I might like. But when you have an outcry from the community, you're on shaky ground to try to do that in the face of people whose children attend those schools saying to you in sizable numbers, look, we like what we had. Why are we changing it?
One of the small items in the documents issued from the administration earlier this week said that it was not a change in policy, but a change in how it was being implemented. As a former school board member, would you want that change in implementation to come back to the board, or would you be satisfied with administration handling that enforcement in any way they choose, like they did here?
You know, anyone who has been around the block on public school issues and Christmas concerts knows that this is a hot button issue. If I had been the administration, even if it was within my purview to make a change on the implementation, knowing how much community scrutiny we might get, community involvement we might have, I would have gone to the school board and at least to the president, maybe to, you know, a couple of officers or something, and said, look, this is what we're planning to do. We're planning to change how we implement it. Because there was a sizable change in implementation. The Master Singers Group, I mean, I've heard about them for a number of years and how, you know, they go around the community and they present these concerts and they have both what we would call secular and religious Christmas music choral productions within their repertoire. This isn't brand new. And so why take this kind of action without anybody knowing about it and just bringing it basically on the people? I know they had a meeting back in late September and they, you know, with music faculty, and basically they told them this is what we're going to do. But when you know that this could create a kind of firestorm, better part of wisdom would be to keep the right people informed.
One of the big mysteries has to do with one of the directives, and that was to have the master singers not do religious songs away from the school, such as performances at nursing homes or the Elks Club, because it's a school-sponsored activity. What's your stand on that?
Well, the same latitude that applies to in-school productions applies to a school group going out under the sanction of the school into the community. If the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, case law and precedent, allows for the inclusion of religious songs in school than it does for out of school. So it's not any more wrong for the groups to include those in a nursing home or at a Rotary meeting or anywhere else they might be performing than it would be to have those songs sung as a part of a winter or holiday or Christmas concert in one of the schools. The First Amendment isn't restricted to a particular building or a particular venue. The First Amendment is all-encompassing.
I had someone bring up a hypothetical question for me, and it generated a lot of conversation. I'm going to pass it on to you. There has been some disagreement. The superintendent, Williams, says that there never was a ratio of 4-to-1, 5-to-1 for religious versus non-religious songs, but there has been other entities saying that there was this proposal. So what if you have a group of high school students that volunteer to perform off of school grounds, and then someone steps in and says, well, you have to have this ratio of music dictating what they are allowed to sing as volunteers. The question for you is, would that be a free speech infringement on those students?
I believe it would be, and I'll tell you the analogy on that. Just a couple of weeks ago, across this country, including right here in Wisconsin, we celebrated See You at the Poll. This is a student-generated, student-led, student-organized event. I forget exactly what Wednesday of September it is, but it was just recently. And students of their own volition went outside before school started, gathered at the flagpole, and had prayer, student-led, student-initiated prayer. If students do voluntarily decide that they're going to get a group together and they're going to go sing, and they're going to sing, let's say they have 10 songs in their repertoire and 9 of them are religious. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Students, first of all, just in general, students don't shed their First Amendment rights when they walk through a school door, but especially they don't shed their First Amendment rights when they are acting in a voluntary capacity and it has no official school sanction to it whatsoever, just like the See You at the Poll event. They had no official school sanction. It was student-led, student-voluntary participation and all that. That would be the same thing in this situation.
What do you expect to see at that special meeting?
I expect to see a large group of concerned citizens and parents gathering there respectfully and taking advantage of the opportunity we have in this incredible republic called the United States of America and the great state of Wisconsin to exercise our citizenship responsibility to share with elected officials, which all those school board members are, our opinions about what is happening in the school district where we have our children, where we pay taxes, and that kind of thing. I expect to hear from an awful lot of people who are not happy with the decision by the administration to change, whether it's a change in policy or change in implementation. I'm sure there will be people there who will share a different opinion, and that is their right to do so. I hope it is respectful always, that it is orderly, and that it gives the school board members all the information they need to deliberate and potentially take an action to maybe undo the decision of the administration. And, you know, that's certainly one outcome I would hope would happen.
Anything you'd like to add today?
No, I think we covered the waterfront, Larry. Thank you for the opportunity.
Joanne Appling is the president for Wisconsin Family Action joining us today.